The Business Buzz Podcast. The Business Buzz.
Good evening and welcome to The Business Buzz for your weekly dose of business, finance and economics news right here on Vow FM. That's Voice of Wits. We are broadcasting live from our studios right here in Braamfontein, Johannesburg. My name is Mdiwa Mob Justice Kavaza and I'll be your host for the show tonight. Who's to say that business can't be entertaining? Definitely make sure you hold on to your seats as we unpack the world of business and keep you educated and intrigued. For tonight's show, we're going to be focusing on the issue of franchising. For those who were listening just a few minutes ago when I was talking about it, we are going to be focusing on those people that have businesses that are tied to another brand. So for example, a Steers, an Engine Garage, a McDonald's, a KFC and the like, where you can own the business but then but still sort of be sending off the profits to the main brand and have their uniforms, their way of doing business and the like. That is called franchising. So that's what we're going to be talking about. We have some people from McDonald's that are going to be telling us what it means to actually be a franchisor, because we actually have to define some of these terms, because a franchisor is the person who sort of owns the brand, so like a McDonald's or a KFC or a Steers, and then the franchisee is the person who owns a particular outlet or branch of that brand. So if, for example, my technical producer Gwinch owns an Engine Garage in Braamfontein. Engine is the franchisor. You see, I'm speaking into his life right now. Engine is the franchisor because they are the owner of the Engine brand, the uniforms, the trademarks, everything. But Gwinch then becomes the franchisee because he is the one who has taken on the franchise and is running it as his own business. So that's what we're going to be looking at. As I said, we're going to be having some people from McDonald's telling us about life on the franchisor side. We're also going to be talking to a franchising consultant around why you should actually get into the business itself and some of the things you should be looking out for. And then we have a lady on the other side of that who's going to be telling us about life of a franchisee. So we're going to be looking at it from multiple angles. So that's how the show is going to be looking like for the next hour or so. Also coming up on the other side of this, we're going to be getting into our business wrap. That's a part of the show where we give you a lineup of the roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. And we have our financial expert Zanele Kunene from BDO Wealth Advisors who's going to be giving us that. And then on the other side of that, Elna is going to be coming through and we're going to be giving you the state of your 100 Rand in our Buffalo Index. But remember that you can keep in touch with us, join in the show, tell us if franchising is a business model you'd want to get into, or if already you own a franchise, how has your experience been? You can find and follow Voice of Wits on social media at the following. On Facebook, we have our FM, that's Voice of Wits, and then you can find our own Facebook page. We have the Wits Radio Academy page, and then on Twitter, we are at Vow FM, and then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. 0840784912, that's our WhatsApp line, and you can stream the station live on www.vowfm.co.za. Remember that podcasts of the Business Buzz Show will be available on vits.journalism.co.za/business. So that's how the show is looking like. Make sure you don't turn that dial. Make sure you keep it locked. We're here until about 7 p.m. This is the Business Buzz.
Mob Justice on the Business Buzz.
It's time for us to get into our business wrap. That's a part of the show where we give you a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. And on the line to unpack all of this is Zanele Kunene, who is our financial expert from BDO Wealth Advisors. How are you, Zanele?
I'm good. How are you?
No, I'm doing all right. As we begin today, I understand that the week has been a week of a lot of numbers being announced, and a lot of those numbers have had precipitous consequences on the rest of the economy. What's going on this week?
Well, this week we found out that we were in a recession. And recession is, every time we think about recession, it has a bad connotation to it, but there are some really good elements to it, you know. And one of the, I'm just going to name two, but the first one is that it forces government to make tough decisions, especially right now, because when Minister Nhlanhla Nene is going to be delivering his speech in October, the midterm budget speech, he has to tell us provide solutions to how is he going to deal with recession, what is the government going to do about it? Because if he doesn't, Moody is going to downgrade us. And when Moody downgrades us, the city will automatically be removed from the City World Government Bond Index, which will force all the managers to sell the South African bonds. That will drag money out. Another tough decision that's also going to need to be made is that the Reserve Bank have to let us know what's going to happen with the interest rate. You know, since inflation has been increasing and the rand has also been depreciating, what's going to happen with the interest rates? So it forces us to make those decisions. Another thing that recession does is it causes us to be less wasteful. You know, and by being less wasteful, we know that South Africa has been dealing with a shrinking revenue, you know, and they tried to revise that by increasing VAT and also by increasing taxes early this year. But that's also not helping. We also have a whole lot of debt. If you didn't know, South Africa's got debt, guys. We've got a lot of debt. And another thing, you know, with the commission inquiry currently happening, a lot of people are quantifying how much corruption actually costs South Africa. So that's also something else to consider. So when the news broke out of the recession, these are the things we have to think about, like what is actually happening within these sectors. But for the numbers, let's pick numbers.
Yeah.
The agricultural sector decreased by about 29%. But Ramaphosa reassured us today. He said that the drop was because of there was low production of field crops, as well as there was late rains and late harvests, and that it will all recover because now the seasons are going to be doing the right thing. As well, transport and trade also decreased by about 4.9%.
Yeah.
And we also had a fuel increase. It wasn't much, but consumers, we know we felt it. It wasn't a big increase, but we felt it. As well, good news, our net exports did increase by about 13.7. So that is something good. At least we are exporting.
Yeah, that's definitely a good thing. And then has this had any sort of consequences? I think a story that we've been talking about quite a lot over the last couple of weeks has been the rand. What has been the effect on that particular aspect?
The thing about the rand, hey, in the past weeks, it's been quite unfortunate that the rand has been carrying a lot of the weight, or it's been carrying the weight of all the other emerging markets. So if something happened in Turkey, we felt it. If something happened in Argentina, we felt it. But when the news of the recession broke, the rand fell by about 5%, like immediately, boom, it was like, whoop. So, 5%. So it has had a massive impact. And the rand is now at 15 rand 31 cents. That's big, guys. That's a loaf of bread. Against the dollar, though.
So, are there any other effects or any other numbers that people should be actually looking to right now? That's the first thing. And the second thing is this really a recession, or is this more just numbers saying that we're in a recession?
No, it is a recession because you are feeling it as a consumer. You are seeing it in our employment numbers. I think it was a month ago we spoke about South Africa's unemployment rate, and those numbers are pretty high, and that is an indicator of that you are entering a recession. Employment goes down. You also look at not consumer, but business confidence also goes down. A lot of businesses aren't expanding. You know, they're not creating those opportunities because, we are in a recession environment. And other numbers people could also consider is, what are other agencies saying? Moody's Investor Service, they said that they are actually relooking their GDP forecast for South Africa for the 2018 year. And they initially said we would probably have a GDP of about 1.7, and now they've relooked that amount to about 0. They put in a bracket of 0.7 to about 1. So they're expecting that our economy is not going to grow that much because of how everything's looking, because of how our country is being run at the moment.
So you heard right there, that was us with Zanele Kunene, who is our financial expert from BDO Wealth Advisors, giving us a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. As you heard, the two big stories at the moment is the fact that South Africa has actually entered into a recessionary phase. And you heard there that the GDP numbers recently came out, and a lot of them were negative. As you heard, though, from the breakdown that she gave, some of them were negative, some of them were positive, but the net effect is that our GDP figures are down. And one of the subsequent effects is the fact that the rand has actually come down quite a bit. I think a big one that actually happened yesterday was the fact that the rand came down, lost some value and came down to the 15 rand 50 mark, which it hasn't done in almost 2 years. So that's it in terms of the business wrap for today. On the other side of this, we tell you the state of your 100 rand. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
The Business Buzz.
This is the Business Buzz. We're talking franchising today, but before we get into the nitty-gritties, it's time for us to tell you the state of your 100 rand and our Buffalo Index. And I have my executive producer, Elna Schutz, in studio to give us a roundup of what 100 rand looks like today in September. How are you, Elna?
I'm very well. I'm already looking forward to this conversation today.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I don't know. It sounds a little bit like a good idea to get a franchise. I mean,
yeah.
But on the other hand, the creative in me is like, I don't want somebody else's idea.
Yeah.
I want to start a business from scratch. So I'm excited to hear.
Okay. So what do you have for us today?
So if you are wondering, should I go into a franchise? Should I invest in that? A good place to start is obviously, you know, get some good knowledge, read up on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, ask the right questions, like your creative control, like I mentioned, whatever it might be. So one place where you can get those answers is a book called 101 Questions to Ask Before You Invest in a Franchise.
Oh.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's written by a franchising expert, Dr. John Hayes, and it would cost you just 150 rand, so 1.5 buffaloes. And apparently it's really just a must have for anybody who wants to, you know, begin their franchise exploration, see if this is something they want to do. And I think so often we sort of pick something and run with it that it's probably good to ask yourself these questions. You're going to need those answers down the line.
Yeah.
So that's one option. But if you're like, Elna, even 150 bags, I'm not that serious about this franchise thing. There is a good free resource you can use called whichfranchise.com. And there's lots of franchise information up there, advice and opportunities. And the thing that I really love about it is that it is South African.
Yeah. Ooh,
I actually said that incorrectly. Whichfranchise.co.za.
Okay, cool.
Because not .com, because it's very local.
Yeah.
And, it's one of the top franchisee recruitment websites, around here. And the great thing is it doesn't just give you the knowledge. So there is the step-by-step guide, how to open a franchise. They have great insights. They do franchising, training courses, all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
But on top of that, they also put up listings and possible opportunities. And these are categorized according to your financial range. So maybe I'm in the sort of the Steers, you're like little Shisanyama range. Maybe you're in the Louis Vuitton franchise
the
range.
Levels, yeah.
Yeah. So that's one good option.
Okay, cool. I actually like the fact that they're providing this whole service for free. I think that's a big thing for me because, you know, people always stingy with the information. So if there's someone out there who's willing to teach, you know, that's a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And especially if you start on a website like this and you know, you whet your appetite a little bit, then you might say, okay, let me pay for a book or a course. Let me take this seriously. But you need to start somewhere with the free stuff. But, if you said to me, Elna, that's great, but I actually know exactly that I want to go into this.
Yeah.
I thought I'd break down for us, even though it's a lot more than a few buffaloes. What does a franchise actually cost?
Yeah.
Do you want to guess?
Okay. 5 million? A million?
Well, you definitely are in the like Louis Vuitton range here. So if we take an example of a fish and chips store, or Fish and Chips, its name, they were in the top 10 of fast food restaurant categories for Sunday Times top brand.
Yeah.
2 years running, a little while back, and the setup costs are 700,000 rand, so 7,000 buffaloes, which, okay. It's under a million.
It's quite a bit, but it's under a million.
Yeah, it's under a million. But then on top of that, so inside of that, there are the setup fees included, but you do have to pay a weekly royalty fee of 800 bucks, 8 buffaloes, and then another 8 buffaloes for your marketing fee weekly.
Yeah.
So you are paying them. And that agreement is every 5 years is the renewal. But they thankfully also do all kinds of sort of turnkey business solutions like training and office support. They give that to you. So as we go into this discussion today, that's basically what you need in the numbers.
Those numbers are actually quite big.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I actually wonder, I'm actually interested to ask some of our guests if any of them if there's a way to actually get some type of funding from the franchisor, as a franchisee, you know, because imagine I'm just me and I have no credit history whatsoever and I need, let's say, the 700,000. And from the numbers I've heard in my research, that's actually on the lower end.
Yes.
You know, so imagine, you know, when you're on the Louis Vuitton, like what you're talking about.
Yeah. I also, in my research, have found some options around financing. So I think if you're listening to this and you're like, I'm tapping out. That's too much. Just stick around because I think there are some options. And, you know, maybe a franchise is one of those things that you do as a young person or towards the beginning of your entrepreneurship or career. And then you build on it. Then you try something else. You know, maybe it's a good place to start.
So you heard us. That was us in our State of Your 100 Rand. That's the Buffalo Index. We're talking about some of the costs involved in either getting some franchising knowledge or actually getting into an actual franchise. So on the other side of this, we get into the actual discussion around franchising. We're going to be talking to some, to a franchisor, to a franchisee, and a franchising consultant around what it means to franchise. So yes, keep it locked. On the other side of this, this is 88.1.
The Business Buzz.
We are talking franchising today on the Business Buzz. But before we get into our discussion, remember that you can keep in touch with us on Facebook. We have our FM, that's Voice of Vits. You can also find our Facebook page, that's the Vits Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're at VowFM, and then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. We're going to start our discussion just talking to an expert around the issue of franchising. We have Melissa Eva on the line, and she is a franchising consultant with Franchising Plus, and she's going to be giving us some ins and outs of what it means to get into the franchising business. How are you, Melissa?
I'm great. How are you doing, Madiwa?
I'm doing all right. Thank you so much for being on our show. As we begin, when opening a franchise, you don't, you know, start a business from scratch, but you're sort of building from someone else's success. What does it actually take to open a franchise?
Well, Madiwa, firstly, I was listening to Alma a little bit earlier on, and she's quite correct in saying maybe franchising is not for her. And franchising isn't really for everybody. So you need to make sure that firstly you're the right profile to be a franchisee, because if you're going to follow rules and things like that, then franchising is for you. But if you're not going to follow guidelines and maybe you're too entrepreneurial or too creative in your spirit, then you're not going to be a happy franchisee, because you're going to want to be doing things your own way. So it's important to do a self-assessment to ensure that you're actually going to be happy to follow rules and guidelines when running your business. So being the right profile would be the first step. And then secondly, I would say you'd need to do a hell of a lot of research in terms of the franchise opportunity that you want to invest in. So picking a franchise is a lot like picking a husband or a wife. So you need to be quite detailed, because it is a medium to long term investment, and you need to make sure that you're going to be the right fit and that the brand is going to be the right fit for you. And then lastly, I would say you need cash to invest in the business. As you guys alluded to a little bit earlier, if you're going to start any business, you need to have funds available to invest into that business.
So what does the typical relationship look like between a mother company and the franchisee? Does it practically end up being more or less easier than doing it alone, or are there specific challenges that then come with having someone to report to, like a franchisor?
So franchising is a relationship, and we like that word relationship, and it's actually a partnership. So both the franchisor and the franchisee do need each other for mutual benefit. So it is like a codependent relationship. So the job of the franchisor is to train and support the franchisee. So it should be easier than going alone. So it should be easier to become a franchisee because you trained and supported on making your business a success, rather than going on your own, where you're a little bit blind and you're on your own. You've got nobody to bounce ideas off and take successes from.
So in terms of that, how do people then go about fostering these particular relationships between the franchisee and franchisor? Is it all just about the money, or do franchisors tend to have some type of training to start building these relationships?
So typically, before opening a franchise, a franchisor should train the franchisee, and then they should have monthly interactions and almost act like a business consultant to the franchisee, where they assist them on a monthly basis by reviewing the business performance and planning for the future. So it's all about communication and a relationship that both are going to benefit for. So a franchisor is only successful if the majority or all of these franchisees are successful. So if both parties have that understanding, it should be a healthy franchise relationship.
And then in terms of that as well, one of the things that we wanted to really ask you is the fact that we have a lot of young listeners for our show, given that this is a campus radio station. Would you advise younger people to actually consider getting into franchising? Especially, we spoke just now about some of the financing costs and implications, for example, that come with franchising. Franchisors tend to want you to have a certain amount of money before you open your business. So is it something that you'd advise young people to get into?
So I think, you know, to be honest, there are a lot of unethical and unscrupulous franchisors out there. So it's a very risky thing to get into if you haven't done your research properly. So I think franchising, when it's done well, is the most beautiful business mechanism, especially for a younger person who doesn't maybe have the experience or business skills. The whole point of franchising is that you learn that from the franchisor and you benefit from their proven business model or business concept. But unfortunately, in practice, as you mentioned, the barrier to entry, we don't see a lot of younger franchisees out there, is the cash that you need to be able to invest in the business. So that is where the balance sort of goes out.
So from that point of view then, because I like the fact that you said it can be the most beautiful business structure that a person can come up with, what types of franchises are popular then at the moment, and which would you recommend as sort of being good as a way to start out? Because we understand that when it comes to franchising, there are fuel garages, there are fast food places, I think in some cases there can be department stores. So is there a particular industry that might be a bit better for franchising, or is it sort of the same across the board?
I love this question because I think as South Africans, we always think food. We think fast food, we think restaurants, we think pubs. And in reality, only about 25% of the franchise opportunities available in South Africa currently are food related. So as I mentioned, choosing a franchise to invest is like choosing a wife. So practically speaking, I can't say what will work for one party over and above another party. At the moment, I think the health and beauty industry is growing quite nicely. Beauty salons and things like that are becoming more and more popular. But what one really needs to do is do a self-assessment in terms of your personal preferences, in terms of the capital you have available, where your passions and where your skills lie. And that is when you choose what business you can make a success of. So, for example, what a lot of people that don't realize is that they love the idea of running a pub or a food restaurant, But that takes work on the weekends and late nights, on the weeknights. So, for example, if you're quite a serious footballer and you've got training on weeknights and you've got tournaments and matches on weekends, you're never going to be in your business if you choose a fast food business or a restaurant to operate in. So things like that need to be taken into consideration when deciding what franchise to choose to invest in. So it really is about a self-assessment and understanding where your skills and passions lie. It doesn't help me to tell you invest in an educational franchise if you don't like working with kids. So, you know, all of these things need to be taken into account when deciding what will be the best business opportunity for you.
And then lastly, we understand franchisors tend to have rules and sort of regulations around how they want their franchisees to run and operate their businesses. But if me as a franchisee do not agree, for example, with the way in which a marketing campaign is going to be run or is being proposed, for example, what are some of the rights and freedoms to sort of break away from the franchisor to franchisees tend to have in the market?
So unfortunately, we always say franchising is not a democracy, and the franchisor has proven the business system, so they know what works and doesn't work for the business system. And unfortunately, what some franchisees don't always realize is that a franchisor makes a decision based on 100 or 200 franchises, where the franchisee is only seeing the benefit for their one little business. The franchisor's job is to make the best decision which benefits the group as a whole. And sometimes franchisees can't see that because they're only seeing their business in isolation. But usually in a good franchise environment, a franchisor will definitely consult with their franchisees because their franchisees are the best point of information. They are the ones that are dealing with the clients and the market on a day-to-day basis, and they know what's happening and what the trends are and things like that. So a franchisor would usually communicate and liaise with the franchisee as to what's happening and listen to their franchisees. They might not always take that advice, but they do definitely listen to the franchisees and take that into account when taking decisions. As to breaking away from the franchise, a franchisee will sign a franchise agreement with a franchisor, and it's usually around 5 years. So like any agreement, if you're going to exit that early, there will be penalty clauses. It's like signing a lease agreement for 2 years and wanting to leave early. And those clauses are in there to protect both parties that, you know, what you're agreeing on is what you're going to do. So if you're going to change your mind about that and wanting to break away, then, you know, that would be for the contract to say what happens in that scenario.
That was us. We were talking to Melissa Ever, who is a franchising consultant with Franchising Plus. She was just giving us a roundup of what the industry actually looks like. A big takeaway from me is when she said that she believes that franchising can be the most beautiful business model, because you're just basically taking what's been done, what has been proven by someone else, and sort of applying it and adding your own sort of twist. But at the same time, one of the things she just ended off by saying was the fact that franchising is not a democracy. You sort of have to color in within the lines, which as a business owner is not always a bad thing, but for the more creative and more free-spirited people out there, it might just be. So you have to decide for yourself if franchising is the thing for you. So that was us with our franchising consultant. On the other side of this, we're going to be talking to the people from McDonald's to let us know what it means to actually be a franchisor and why you should become a franchisee. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
The Business Buzz.
Franchising, that's what we are talking about on the Business Buzz today. We just came from talking to Melissa Eva from Franchising Plus, giving us an overview of what the franchising landscape looks like. But right now we want to delve more into the business itself. And on the line we are joined by Joanne DeVette, who is from McDonald's. She is the supply and operations officer there. And she's going to be giving us what it means for McDonald's to be a franchise. And perhaps why you as our listeners should be considering McDonald's as potential franchisees. How are you, Joanne?
I'm well. Good evening, and good evening to your listeners.
Thank you so much for being on the show. As we begin our discussion, please could you just tell us a little bit around the franchising model and system that is used by McDonald's in South Africa?
So the franchising model in South Africa
is one as globally referred to as a development licensee or master franchisor. So we have an independent owner, not owned by the U.S. Per se, and who has the rights to grow the franchise brand within South Africa, and to be in a position where we could also sub-franchise to conventional licensee. A conventional licensee in the context of McDonald's is an individual who owns the rights to trade McDonald's products under the McDonald's global brand.
So in terms of that, well, what has been, from McDonald's point of view, sort of the general mood and sentiment in South Africa and the market just around franchising as a whole? You've already mentioned the fact that in South Africa, there's an independent owner already for the South African brand of McDonald's. But in terms of the franchises that do happen here, how has been the take up and how are people actually taking it up in terms of the costs, ownership, hiring, and obviously sending profits back to head office?
So it has been very positive, and McDonald's has been within South Africa in excess of 23 years, and we started off with the franchising model from the very beginning. In the early days, the model was what was referred to as a joint venture model, where McDonald's as a corporate owned 50% of a franchise,
yeah,
and allowed an incoming partner to own 50% of a specific location with the intent of owning and migrating to 100% ownership.
Ah, okay.
So all our current franchisees, there's a total of 33 franchisees in the country.
Yeah.
There's a total of 262 restaurants in all 9 provinces within South Africa, and close to 50% of them are owned by independent franchisees, or what McDonald's would refer to as owner-operators. We specifically do not recruit or partner with individuals who want to own the brand from an equity perspective, but are not prepared to operate each and every outlet as an extension of an existing, or what we would refer to our existing CEO. So we have 53 franchises with an average of 3 restaurants each.
Yeah.
And some of the bigger franchisees own up to a maximum of 9. Our biggest franchisee actually owns 9 restaurants.
Oh, that's
so
actually,
if you compare us in the food franchise industry, we don't necessarily chase after a number of outlets as a number, but we focus on driving market share and expanding our footprint in a sustainable manner, in a manner in which our franchisees can generate wealth, in a manner in which we can generate wealth, but at the same time, responsibly grow the footprint so that we can recruit out of the communities in which we operate or open a location specifically.
I like the fact that you had started getting into the numbers around how many restaurants are there, and you've just told us that the average number of restaurants owned by your franchise is about 3, with the most being about 9. And I think that leads very well into the next question of, in the market in South Africa, what makes owning a McDonald's different from owning any other brand in the franchising space that McDonald's competes with?
So what makes it quite unique is, I think it's one of the comments I've mentioned in responding to your former question, is we look for partners that are not equity stakeholders. We are looking for partners that are prepared to own and operate their business. So we're also interested in the sweat equity of that particular franchisee or owner-operator.
Yeah.
Because they're at the forefront of the brand, driving both the penetration within in the community, and it's a recognizable face. So when people are engaging with McDonald's, you're not just engaging with a golden arch. It gives the community an opportunity to engage with a particular individual. So that's one of those unique traits that sits as part of what we see as an imperative around one of our culture pillars internally. So internally, one of our culture pillars, believe it or not, is being better together. So we focus on our franchise legs. We focus on our head office or corporate structure. And at the same time, we focus on the community and suppliers in which we engage. So that's a key area that we believe we differentiate in. And we also understand that you can create wealth in a very, very nimble fashion by owning two or three restaurants versus owning 50 restaurants and having a diluted ROI.
So then finally, in terms of our young listeners out there, because we have a lot of young listeners, and I'm sure a lot of them might be asking themselves, what are some of the tips and advice you might have for young people that may be wanting to own a McDonald's or a couple of McDonald's in the future? What should they be prepared for? What are some of the misconceptions that the market is lying to them about? What should they be expecting?
I think the first thing I would say to them prior, just before I even respond to the McDonald's specific, if you are interested in entering the franchise space, my first recommendation to all the listeners, all the young budding entrepreneurs, is to define whether or not you want to be an independent entrepreneur or whether or not you want to be part of a franchise system. It's very different to be an entrepreneur where you have the flexibility to innovate and influence the direction that you shape your vision as an entrepreneur. Within the McDonald's system specifically, you've got to do quite a bit of research first and identify, do you want to become an entrepreneur? Do you become a franchisee? If you make a decision to go within the franchising space and food specifically, do your research, do your homework. Don't just interview don't just apply to become a franchisee. Also interview the prospective franchise partner. We go through a lengthy process to expose any budding entrepreneur to our business model.
Yeah.
The first part of the phase outside of actually just applying is actually going and doing a 3-day on-the-job evaluation. 3 days within the McDonald's system, working three very different shifts over our 24-hour trading period, which gives the budding entrepreneur or the budding franchisee an opportunity to interview us from behind the counter and get a taste for what it would be to be a McDonald's franchisee. What is very positive is that we have an extensive network with our franchise partners. So any direction in which we want the entire organization to move into, we spend a significant time doing research and a significant time spending time with our owner-operators concluding and agreeing on a direction in which we will pursue in a very aggressive manner in a very short period of time. It is an opportunity to create wealth, but it's also an opportunity to do good within your community, because we do quite a bit of there's quite a bit of community involvement, which is led by our franchise league, over and above some of the corporate charities, such as we've got a Ronald McDonald House of Charities, and we've got 27 rooms in the Nelson Mandela Hospital in Johannesburg where we contribute the majority of our fundraising efforts towards or focus it towards. So any individual interested in a brand such as McDonald's, very exciting, very fast moving. But be prepared not just to bring your capital, but we are interested in your sweat equity as well.
So you heard they are interested in your sweat equity. If you're a young person, the advice coming through from Joanne is that you need to go and familiarize yourself with the business and do your research before you get into it. On the other side of this, we get into the story of an actual franchisee and how she has actually come up to owning her own garage. This is The Business Buzz.
You're tuned in to The Business Buzz.
We're talking franchising. We just came from talking to a lady from McDonald's telling us what it means to be a franchisor. But right now we want to get into what it means to actually own your own franchise. And on the line, we are joined by Lydia Ramatisa, who is a franchisee. She actually owns her own engine garage, but she has a very unique story, and I'm going to let her tell us all about it. How are you, Lydia?
I'm fine, thanks, and you?
I'm fine, thank you. As I've just mentioned, you have quite a powerful story about how you actually became the owner of your own engine garage. Please, could you just tell your listeners a little bit about that?
Okay, thank you. Firstly, I would like to meet you guys and everybody, and thank you for giving me this great opportunity to tell the story where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
Yes, but did you read about me? It is true. It was not easy.
Yeah.
I think I started in 2005 when I started the job. I started as a baker.
Yeah.
Yes. I fell pregnant at school, grade 11. I was in grade 11. I had to leave the school because I was pregnant. I have to provide for my child. Then it was so difficult. Then I told my mom, no, man, I'm going to look for a job because I don't think I will be able to go back to school, so because I can't provide my child with a Ramatisa. Then I went and looked for the job in Joburg, Biscuit King. Then we were few there, a lot. Then they said to us, no, today they're not hire because they're not open. I sent it outside for a few minutes to see if something can come up.
Yeah.
Owner of the site told me, I said, are you looking for a job, a young lady? I was 20 years that time. I said, yes, I'm looking for the job. He said, you know, I don't have a job now. You can just sing for me, then I will give you 20 rand. I said, you are great. It is great. Then I will have money to go back to
home. Yeah.
Then I started as a baker. Then really I gave in because really I didn't lose focus. I showed them, the owners, that I'm looking for this job. Really, really, I'm desperate. Then I started singing, doing everything using my own common sense.
Yeah.
I was there. After later then, my boss came, said, wow, we can open today. He was so shocked also. They didn't even think to open. But the way I worked,
yeah,
I showed them I'm really, really in need of this job and I want this small biscuit king thing to open. Then it started there. I started earning 730 a month.
Yeah.
After that, after a few months, they raised my salary to 800 rand. And then the company didn't work it. And then there was a garage, engine garage, Uncle George, next to that district team. Then they said, no, we're looking for someone. Since we know you are a hard worker, can you come and please learn to be a cashier this side? I said, no problem. Then it's where I started my journey. I started working as a cashier. I worked hard. When the bosses are out, I was intending to take responsibilities and I wanted things to work. I saw when my boss going, saying, okay, we're going. I didn't take any advantage of them. I worked, even if it needed me to work overtime. I was looking if everything is okay before I go. And my motto in life, it was to respect people and customers. If I see something, it was not there or what, I was not waiting for my manager or my boss to tell me this, or I was saying, this is not my job. I was taking everything. Then my boss saw a potential to me. Said, you know, Lydia, you're working so hard. I say, thank you very much. Then my boss said, can you be able to work at the office? I said, okay, that one is heavy, but I will try. I'm willing to learn anything. Then my boss said, okay, let's give it a try. It was a few months when I started as a cashier. I went to work in the office, and then when I see there, when they're like inspectors from engine, when they come on the site, they do regular inspection on the site to see what is new or are we keeping on complying on their standards.
Yeah.
Giving customers what they should lay out and everything. So every time when they are on the site, I see there will be a fight with the bosses. This thing is not right. The sales are low. I think then I sit down and said, Nieman, I need to do something. I went and checked. Yes, and then I went to my boss. I said, so, you know, I would like to try something. It doesn't mean if you have to go to university to do something, or you see, to learn or to be a doctor, to learn how to pick up sales or to be a good business. A small things can turn up the site.
Yeah.
Can that opportunity to show you what I have. I don't have much. I don't have a metric. I didn't go to university, but can I use my own common sense? I'm that person. I like to do things. I like to try, you see. So I started simple with a plate. It was a pub and a left quarter food. It boomed. When Indian people come there, they say, what's going on? The sales are so high. What are you doing? I started baking maguena on the site. I started implementing drumsticks.
Yeah.
Drumsticks, fillets, chicken fillets. I started making stamp stew, something like that. The customers went to happy with my food. It was selling. It took the sales double. Outside, I motivated my workers, my co-workers. You know, guys, let's make a chance as a youth. Because Dr. Ibrahim gave us a great opportunity. Let's not play with work, because today it's very hard and difficult to find jobs. Let's not play. Please, let's respect the customers and see if we can make a change, because my boss was complaining about the sales. It's not picking up, and then they don't think this business is going to make one at a time. They have to kill the sake. I said, no, I'm not going to let it. Then I went and talked to my staff. I motivated them. Please, in life, be focused. Know what you want, have an aim, you know, and don't undermine anything. If even you went to school or what, just if a little thing can turn into something big, you never know.
Yeah.
When we went, my boss saw everything went up, and then he doubled the sales. My boss said, no, we must get, the engine people wanted this, they advertised the site, Open Convenience Center, there where I am today.
Yeah.
My boss said, no, this opportunity, Lydia, I want you to have your own site. Can you do it for me?
Yeah.
I said, I don't know, Dr. Ibrahim, you know, and Jose, my mentor, it was Jose Jardim. I say, I don't know. I don't know, because I don't have education. I didn't go. I don't know finance. I said, no problem. Let's just go, please. I closed my eyes. I said, okay, let's go to interview Bloemfontein. There we go to Bloemfontein Angel. We got interview. I was interviewed by UC teacher with Zinet. The interview and the BEE person were there. The interview went well. They asked me how I'm going to run the site. Will I be able? I said, for sure, I will run that site. It was shut. The site was shut down for 2 years.
Yeah.
It was not working. Then I said, then they say, okay, Lydia, let's see that we're giving you the key. We will see. Then till today, it's a successful business. I did never took a got there here in Orkney with an intention, having a vision, and we doubled the sales also.
Yeah.
The previous owner of which it was a white guy, Antonio,
yeah.
Of which the engine franchises, they are surprised to see this sales. So they asking me, how do you do it? I said, you know, only one thing.
Yeah.
You must focus in life. And if you want something, you will get it if you put focus. Really, because I never lose. I used to work under pressure. I was telling you, work never kill anybody.
Yeah.
It never kill anyone. And I'm
Lydia. Very quickly, because we are running out of time on our show, we just want to have one quick question before we go. Because one of the things you keep, you've emphasized is the fact that you didn't have the formal education, but you've been able to run a very successful business. So for you, in terms of the lessons learned on the business, very quickly, in about 30 seconds, how have you learned some of the various factors such as financing, accounting, marketing, human resources and the like along the way to actually run the successful business?
Yes, as I told you, I've got my mentor as Josie Jadim.
Yeah.
He told me everything. He learned me. Because he was working with engine, with accountant financial service for 14 years from Uncle George.
Yeah.
So I learned from him. He taught me everything. He taught me how to work in the computers, those ones. But other ones like operational, I'm very good on operating. When coming to financial statement, you were showing me until now, I'm still learning on GP turnovers, how we're making those things.
Okay. Unfortunately, we don't have time to continue, but thank you so much. We're on the line with Lydia Ramatisa, who is a franchisee and owner of her own engine garage. Her story is very inspiring because, as you heard, when she first joined engine, she was actually a cashier, and then she was able to, through hard work and being noticed that she was a hard worker, was then able to apply and become a franchisee. On the other side of this, we end our show. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
Mob Justice on the Business Buzz.
That brings us to the end of our show. We're talking about franchising today on the Business Buzz. Remember that you can keep in touch with us on social media. We have our FM, that's Voice of Wits, and Wits Radio Academy. We have our own Facebook page. On Twitter, we're at VowFM, and then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz, and the number on WhatsApp is 0840784912. You can stream the station live on www.vowfm.co.za. And you can also find podcasts of the Business Buzz Show on vids.journalism.co.za/business. Thank you so much to everyone who was listening to our show. Very interesting show. We just came from interviewing Lydia Ramatisa, who is an amazing success story of how franchising can actually work as a business model. We spoke to Melissa Ever, who is a franchising consultant, and we also spoke to Joanne DeVette, who is from McDonald's, just giving us a roundup of what the industry looks like and what it means to actually franchise out your own business. We hope that you've enjoyed the show, but that brings us to the end. Thank you to our amazing team, our executive producer Elna Schutz, and our producers Lengi Mezondo and Welcome Lishiva. Our technical producer is Kutlwano Serame. Don't miss the Business Buzz, same time, same place next week for more insight into the world of business. Remember that VAW FM is a 24-hour radio station, so on the other side of this, we have the team from Life Beats, so definitely make sure you don't turn that down. For myself, Mudio Mob, Justice Kavaza, and the rest of the team, it's good evening and take care.
Mob Justice on the Business Buzz. Listen to the Business Buzz every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. only on VowFM. The Business Buzz Podcast.